So over the course of the last few weeks, the readings that the church has laid out for us has signaled that right now we're in a time of transition, where we find ourselves here now in these concluding weeks of the Easter season. Right, in the Easter season, it's those 50 days in which we're called to encounter the resurrection. Right, we're called to understand, to come to begin to comprehend what the resurrection means to us, to encounter the risen Lord, and then to allow it to transform us. Right, because that fundamental reality upon which the entirety of our faith is built around. This is what we've been called to do over the course of these past weeks. But now, as I said, we see this transition in the readings. That now, if you will, there's a crescendo beginning to build that will culminate over the course of these next 2 weeks, these concluding weeks of the Easter season. Because a week from today, we'll celebrate the ascension. Right, as Jesus begins to signal to us now, right, he's now beginning to prepare now to turn over the keys, so to speak, to his apostles. And 2 weeks from today, we'll celebrate the ascension coming to its culmination with the descension of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the Blessed Mother in the upper room. So that's what we're leading towards right now, is again allowing the resurrection to begin to change us so that we can go out and change the world. And as our Lord tells us, when the Advocate is sent among us, when the Holy Spirit comes among us here in the coming weeks, it's then that we'll have the fullness to be able to go out and to allow that transformation to happen. Now, in our first reading, in the Acts of the Apostles, what we do is we get another snapshot into the early church. As last week, as we heard, Paul and Barnabas, they're sent out to all these different places. They're sent out to continue to preach the gospel. But today we get a different snapshot of the church. And I would say it's a snapshot of the church that we're all too familiar with today. And I would say it's kind of the messy aspect of the church. Because what we hear in the beginning of that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles is they encounter a very, very difficult question, and that's, what is it that we do with all these Gentiles who've now converted to the faith? So they ask this question. They say, listen, we as Jews, we had to follow the entirety of the Mosaic law. There were all these laws that were handed down to us. So now, what is it that we have to do for these Gentiles? They weren't held to that same standard. Now, do they have to convert to Judaism? Do they have to follow all those laws if they want to be Christian converts? And so it's a question that it was actually, it was an important question. What does it mean? Because they knew that Jesus changed things. They knew that in the incarnation, in God becoming man, and then in the resurrection, that was going to make things different. But the question then is, what are the practical consequences of that? What is it that those converted Gentiles then must do? And so what's interesting, what we figure out is, the way that they figure out that question isn't necessarily a how, but a who. In fact, what we hear is they say, it's the decision of the Holy Spirit not to place any burden beyond necessity upon those Gentile converts. So what we see, as I said last week, as Paul and Barnabas, as the apostles, are sent out, this week they all come together in one great college of a consulting body, the apostles. They come together with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to begin to answer these difficult questions, to begin to figure out how they now, after the ascension, how they, the leaders of the church, are called to bring in all these people. And we hear that it's through the guidance of the Holy Spirit that they come to that conclusion. And as I said, we see this all the time. We see this when the church comes together almost annually, when they bring in all the bishops from all the world asking some of these very, very practical questions. Some of you who encountered the Second Vatican Council understand that when all those bishops came together, it's amazing that the changes that happened as a result of that. We believe that when they come together, they're guided by the Holy Spirit. And so you see, for us in this fallen world, and of course this is going to be true to a varying extent too, but For us in this fallen world, anytime we see politicians, we necessarily think there's going to be corruption with it. Right? I mean, especially now, you know, in the days of lobbyists. Right? I mean, you know, lobbyists essentially are the Holy Spirit of the politicians of today. Right? That's the noise that you hear speaking to the politicians in the back of their mind. And so we naturally think, too, that, you know, maybe that's got to be the way that the church is. And of course, too, the church is a human institution. Lord knows we have our issues, we have our problems. Lord knows that the humanity all too often can overshadow the divinity of the institution that we find ourselves in the church. But the reality is, what our faith tells us, right, what the first reading and even what our Lord tells us today in the gospel is that it's the Holy Spirit that's really behind all of this, even in the midst of all the ugliness. And in fact, there's a great quote from soon-to-be St. John Henry Newman, the one who Newman University is named after. Right, he was an Anglican convert, and he had a great line. Because he was fascinated with this question. He was fascinated as to how the faith could change. And this line that he has, this great quote, he says, "To live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often." Because that's the one thing. I mean, if there's one thing that we see, anything that's living has to adapt to the surrounding, to its surroundings. If not, that's how we die. I mean, and that was one of the first things that I learned in business school as I was getting my master's. As soon as, if as a business, you think that you're in a stable place, if you decide that right here we're good, I'm not changing anymore, that's the beginning of the end for you. We need to be in this constant state of change. We need to constantly try to improve ourselves. And it's the same thing can be said for the church. The church needs to be alive. The church needs to be enlivened by the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that anything goes. Right? Because just like any living thing, there are certain things that are essential to who we are. And for us in the church, we always have to remain true to the teachings of Jesus Christ. We always have to remain true to the scripture that's been handed down to us, to that sacred tradition. In fact, there was a quote on Facebook that's been going around quite a bit over the course of the last couple of weeks, and I really, really like it, because I think this is what John Henry Newman essentially is getting at when he says, "God's not going to rewrite the Bible for your generation." He said, "Stop trying to change Scripture in the church when it's meant to change you." You see, for us, and again, we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. We all think that, yes, everything needs to change except for me. The whole world needs to conform to what I believe to be the truth. When in reality, what Jesus meant to do was he was saying, "Listen, I am the one who's unchanging. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You need to change your life in accordance with me." And that's ultimately what we're getting at. So the church is always guided by the Holy Spirit. It's changing so as to better conform itself, so as to better hand on those principles and those teachings that Jesus Christ and the church have handed down for 2,000 years. And so, as I said, right now we find ourselves now in this state of transition. We're meant to allow the resurrection to continue to change us. And this is the thing, it's when we fully understand what the resurrection means, when we fully understand that Jesus triumphed over death, the death no longer has power over us, we can't help but be changed. We can't help but begin to want to conform ourselves to that truth. And then in conforming ourselves to that truth, as the apostles were, they're sent out so as to change the world. Because my friends, we are the body of Christ. We now, the church, we are Christ's presence here 2,000 years after the fact. So here in these concluding weeks of Easter, as we prepare next week for the Ascension, and as we prepare 2 weeks now for Pentecost, for the Holy Spirit to come down upon us, may we allow the resurrection of our Lord to begin to change us so that we may go out and change the world.